Hey everyone, welcome back to 7 Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're talking about David Olusoga's Black and British, A Forgotten History. Sophie, this book made me rethink basically everything I thought I knew about British history.
Same here. And I love that Olusoga's opening move is to say this isn't just a history of Black people in Britain, it's a fundamental rereading of the whole national story. He argues that Black history is British history, full stop.
Right. And he starts way earlier than you'd expect. I mean, we're talking Roman Britain. There's a skeleton of a wealthy woman from the 4th century called the Ivory Bangle Lady, buried in York with high-status goods. She was of African origin.
Exactly. And that's not an isolated find. There's evidence of African soldiers and free people living in Roman Britain. Olusoga's point is that the presence was there, and it wasn't seen as extraordinary at the time. The erasure happened later, when later generations needed a simpler, whiter national story.
Yeah, and he's careful not to overstate it. The numbers were small, but the fact that it's been completely forgotten tells you a lot about how history gets written. He moves through the medieval period too. African figures in illuminated manuscripts, pilgrims, traders.
Then the Tudor period gets really interesting. Elizabeth I actually issued a proclamation in 1596 complaining about the number of Black people and ordering their deportation. People often cite that as the start of official racism, but Olusoga puts it in perspective. The numbers were tiny and the motivation was more about economic anxiety than race, as we understand it.
Still, the fact that there were enough Black people in London for the Queen to notice is significant. And then you get to the 17th and 18th centuries, which is where the story gets both richer and darker. Britain was the dominant player in the transatlantic slave trade.
British ships carried more enslaved Africans than any other nation. Ports like Liverpool and Bristol grew wealthy on it. Olusoga makes the point that the slave trade wasn't peripheral. It fueled the Industrial Revolution. The sugar, tobacco, cotton produced by enslaved labor became the consumer goods that transformed British society.
Even the cups of tea that became a national ritual. That's a brutal foundation. And yet, even as Britain profited, Black people were living and working here. Some were enslaved, brought back as domestic servants. Others were free, sailors, musicians, and laborers.
And there were the Black Loyalists, former soldiers who fought for Britain in the American War of Independence, promised freedom, and then ended up destitute in London. They were some of the first to organize and petition for their rights. That gap between Britain's self-image as a land of liberty and the reality is a huge theme.
Then you've got the abolition movement. We all know the story of Wilberforce and Clarkson, but Olusoga really foregrounds the Black activists. Olotta Equiano, who bought his freedom and wrote a best-selling autobiography. Atahoba Kogoano, who published a radical condemnation of slavery.
Equiano's book was a weapon in the abolitionist arsenal. It proved that Africans were capable of intellectual achievement and deserved freedom. But Olusoga also points out that after abolition, the government paid £20 million in compensation to slave owners. The enslaved got nothing. That debt wasn't fully paid off until 2015.
That fact stopped me cold. The moral victory is real, but it's also complicated. And then in the 19th century, the numbers of Black people in Britain actually declined. But the racism that justified slavery didn't disappear. It evolved into pseudoscientific theories of racial hierarchy that justified empire.
The imperial project needed a justification, and it found it in the idea of white supremacy. That ideology permeated everything, popular entertainment, science, and education. And it shaped how Black people were treated at home as well as abroad.
The World Wars brought a new wave of Black soldiers from the Caribbean, Africa, India. They fought and died for the British Empire, often in segregated units. Their contributions were largely forgotten in official histories. Then, after World War II, the government actively encouraged migration from the Caribbean to fill labor shortages.
That's the Windrush generation, 1948, the Empire Windrush arriving. Those passengers were British subjects, invited to come and help rebuild. They arrived with high hopes and faced widespread discrimination in housing, jobs, and social life.
Olusiga covers the struggle for acceptance, the formation of Black communities, the cultural flowering, Notting Hill Carnival, and Lyndon Kwesi Johnson, but also the racism and violence, the race riots of 1958, the Brixton Uprising of 1981, the murder of Stephen Lawrence in 1993.
And he's always attentive to how history gets written and rewritten. He shows how the contributions of Black people have been systematically excluded, not always through active malice, but through a kind of willed ignorance. Textbooks, monuments, school curricula all told a story of Britain that was white, Christian, progressive.
Recovering Black history is a political act. It's an assertion of belonging. And Olusiga also celebrates the resilience and achievements. Mary Seacole, the Jamaican nurse in the Crimean War who was written out of history. Ira Aldridge, the African-American actor who became a star on the London stage. Harold Moody, who founded the League of Colored Peoples.
Their stories aren't footnotes. They're central. And the book also tackles the memory of slavery and empire, the debates over statues, reparations, the BBC history series. Olusiga argues that true reconciliation requires honest reckoning with the full extent of the harm done.
He brings it up to the present, Black Lives Matter, the Windrush scandal where the government illegally detained and deported members of that generation. The struggle is far from over, but the history he uncovers provides a foundation for hope.
The power of the book is the way he weaves it all into a coherent narrative. From Roman soldiers to Tudor servants, from enslaved Africans to Victorian activists, from Windrush pioneers to modern Britons, Black people have been present, contributing, struggling, and shaping the country.
The single thing I'm taking away is that British history is incomplete without this story. You can't understand the nation without understanding the deep, painful relationship with Africa and the Caribbean that goes back centuries. It's not a separate history, it's the history.
And honestly, if you want to go deeper, the whole library is over at 7minutebooks.com/app with over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. It starts at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access.
And Sophie, I think the real gift of this book is that it asks you to see your country differently, to recognize that the story you were told was incomplete, and to open yourself to a more complex, more painful, and ultimately more truthful understanding of the past.
Well said. That's it for this episode. We'll see you in the next one.